and welcome into episode number 386 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
Well, we're in it now. For those of you that don't know Elise, this is Elise Morales. She is absolutely incredible in every way. So the bar is high for you to get your facts right. But she is the host of The Roast of Your Teenage Self, an absolutely hilarious podcast that, you know, you roast your teenage self. So Elise, give the people a quick little 30-second what to expect when they listen to your show.
What to expect when you listen to my show is I have mostly comedians, but also like funny, interesting people come on. They actually send me pictures of themselves beforehand. And we just talk about all the embarrassing trials and tribulations of their teenage years. You can listen to the audio version, the podcast version. There's also a YouTube version where you can watch along and see all the fun and funny photos. We've had comedian Bert Kreischer on, Bobby Lee from Mad TV, Hannah Berner, who is from Bravo's Summer House. So we've just had like run the gamut of all cool people. It actually started as a live comedy show here in New York where comedians would just like show pictures and roast themselves. And yeah, we've got a bunch of really awesome episodes coming out. So you can get that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the different podcast places, you know?
Yeah, well, this is very exciting for us to have somebody that has, you know, actually some pitch and share with the people. This is like a big deal for, you know, Nick, Michael and myself. You know, we are humbled.
Well, hey, it's a big deal for me, too, because I was honored to be asked.
How do you normally do with trivia? Like, how do you feel about answering questions? Are you nervous at all?
Oh, I'm extremely nervous. I feel like I know trivia in a very narrow scope. I can talk about Harry Potter as we discussed earlier. I can talk about some history related things. Anything to do with numbers, I am wildly off. I have no idea what anything weighs, how big anything is, like miles, anything like that. I'm going to be way off and I'm scared.
Good, it sounds like you're going to fit right in.
Great.
Yes. She's going to fit right in with us. And my fact is actually numbers related. So I'm going to let that sit for a minute so that you can start to get sweatier. So Nick, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I think I've got the perfect sort of fact to go with Elise and her problems, because while it is numbers, quote unquote, numbers based, it's not really. So this should work out really well.
Okay.
All right. The way I'm going to begin this, it's not a question. We're going to play a little game here. Okay.
Oh boy.
It's going to be fun. All right.
Anytime somebody says it's going to be fun in that tone, it is often not fun.
It'll be great. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. We're starting off with a little bit of sad news. Recently, Wilford Brimley passed away. Right. Mm-hmm. The renowned diabetes actor. Everybody knows who Wilford Brimley was. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lindsay?
Yes.
I will after a quick Google. So stay with me.
All right. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Wilford Brimley, he's the Quaker Oats guy. He was the diabetes guy. He is probably most well known for his role in the movie Cocoon, which was in 1985. Okay. He played the theme, Lindsay, of the movie Cocoon is that he there's an alien thing in his Fountain of Youth story, right? Where they all the old people start feeling young. Okay. Wilford Brimley was a certain number of years old at that time. I have a list of current celebrities and their ages. You need to tell me whether those celebrities are older or younger than Wilford Brimley was when he played the old man in Cocoon.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Do we need sure. any sort of Cocoon reference? I guess we have to figure out how old he was when he played the old man in Cocoon first, right? You're not going to tell us that?
No, I'm not going to tell you that.
To be clearer on this really quick, the age of the actor at the time of the movie, not the age of the character.
The age of Wilford Brimley when he played the old man needing a fountain of youth in the movie Cocoon.
Got it.
And the current age of the celebrities that I'm going to list off for you. Okay.
Okay.
Just tell me if they're older or younger. All right. And I have a whole score sheet that I set up, and I'm going to keep track, and it'll be great. So we'll start with Lindsay.
Okay.
Well, everybody can give the scores for everybody. All right. Lindsay, Amy Poehler, is she currently older or younger than Wilford Brimley was when he starred in Cocoon?
Okay. I was so nervous that you were going to give me a celebrity that I hadn't heard of. So thank you, because I do know Amy Poehler. And I think she's going to be 50 in a couple years. I think she's like 45, 47, 48. And knowing how you answer these questions, I think that she's older than him.
Amy Poehler is younger than Wilford Brimley was in the show.
Okay.
Okay. Michael. Barry Sanders.
Nope. Okay. Barry Sanders. I think, Lindsay, I'm realizing he's skewing some of these to the person he's asking. So he gave you very much Amy Poehler. He gave me Barry Sanders. So I'm going to say Barry Sanders is currently older.
Barry Sanders is currently older. That is correct. Point for Michael. Okay. All right. Elise.
Yes.
Daniel Craig.
Okay.
Is James Bond currently older or younger than Wilford Brimley in Cocoon?
Okay. I would say that Daniel Craig has a stately energy to me. I do not have any clue how old he is, but I'm going to say older.
Older is correct. Very good. Daniel Craig is currently older. All right. Let's see. So point for Elise. Back to Lindsay. Lindsay, Ewan McGregor.
Oh, boy. Oh, okay. A little Obi-Wan here. I just recently watched Moulin Rouge, which is a great film. Beautiful, but also weird. And I've talked about this, how I want to like know how that movie was pitched because it doesn't make any sense.
He's in Moulin Rouge.
He's the male lead.
I haven't seen it in like, 15 years. Like,
oh my gosh.
That adaptation of your song is one of my favorite versions of that song.
It pops into my head often. Like, even though I haven't seen that movie in years, that, like, Ewan McGregor singing that will pop into my head at random times.
And then whenever it does, it's a good time. I'm doing that thing where I am just delaying by distracting. And I would say that, I don't know, he was like a young hot stuff. And that movie was early 2000s. That's 20 years ago. So I will say, though, that he is younger. Because at this point, we established that Brimley was like around 50. And I don't think that he's hit 50 yet.
So Ewan McGregor is younger. You are correct. He is 49 years old. So he is younger than Wilford Brimley.
Oh, so close.
Yep. Okay. So point for Lindsay. All right, Michael. Elon Musk.
I can't even tell you how old Elon Musk is. Like, I can't even guess. He could be 20. He could be 70. I'm really not sure.
I will give you a hint, Michael. He is within that range.
Okay. This is a complete dart throw, but I'm going to say Elon Musk is older.
Elon Musk is younger. He is also 49 years old. Elon Musk and Ewan McGregor, same age. All right, Elise. Gwen Stefani.
Oh, Gwen Stefani. Gwen Stefani is... I don't actually know her age, but my guess is that she's in her like middle 40s right now. So I'm going to say that Ms. Gwen is younger.
Gwen Stefani is older than Wilford Brimley was when he played the old man in Cocoon. Gwen Stefani is 50 years and 9 months old.
I feel like this game is fun, but it would be a lot more fun if I had seen Cocoon or had reference to what Wilford Brimley looked like in Cocoon. Well, also, I'm still not over the fact that you're saying he's the Quaker Oats guy, and I didn't realize that Quaker Oats had a real guy. I thought that was
he's like the pitch man.
Oh, okay. I had never heard of that even remotely. Okay. Nick, you have one more round, or are you wrapping up?
Oh no, I've got plenty of rounds. I was actually just looking for a picture of Wilford Brimley from Cocoon that I could send you.
Okay, I think of is the mustache.
Yes.
Did he have the mustache in Cocoon?
Correct. All right. So then the rest of my list here, and we'll have some fun with this. I'll just jump around a little bit. Lindsay, you are up first. Kurt Angle.
Oh. you know how much I love wrestling. I would say that he's older. I think he's over 50.
He is. He is 51. He is a couple of months
Let's
old.
Go. So no naked lap.
Michael, Little John.
Yeah.
Little John.
Little John. There's no tease. Younger.
Little John is younger. He is 45. All right. And then
wrapping Little John's 45. We're just gonna gloss
sorry,
over.
No, I'm sorry.
Little
John's
45.
49.
49. Okay. Still, what? That's mind blowing.
Yep. Ageless to me.
Right? Ageless. Seriously. Okay, Elise.
And then Elise's last one. Let me find you a good one here.
All
right, pressure. Elise. Snoop Dogg.
Snoop. Oh. Well, Snoop's a little older, so I feel like Snoop is older than Lil Jon. I feel like Snoop is probably around the same age as Gwen, maybe. So I'm going to say that he's older.
Snoop is 48 years old. He's actually younger than Lil Jon and just slightly younger than Wilford Brimley. All right. So just to finish up the list, we had a tie for that round. So Michael and Lindsay at 2 correct split the point for that round. So congratulations to you guys. But the rest of my list, Jason Priestley is older. Jeremy Renner and Kid Rock are younger. LL Cool J, Lucy Liu, and Marissa Tomei are all older. Martin Freeman and Mary J. Blige are both younger. Mike Tyson and Paul Rudd are both older. Sean Astin and Winona Ryder are both younger.
That is not fair because Paul Rudd does not have an age. So
that is correct.
I will have some BS
it's
like on say, that.
It's just, like it's saying, just a slash. Page. It's just a slash line where I have the age written down. And then so Snoop Dogg I thought was one of the, he's a lot younger than I thought he was. And then the other one that really threw me, I mean, Tony Hawk is older, but Terry Crews is 52 years old. I easily would have pegged him as much younger than Wilford Brimley was, but no, he's older.
I think what we've learned is that all of us would never be able to work at a carnival guess your age booth.
That is correct.
And we would never be able to do that. We'll stick to the trivia podcast. So, Michael, it is up to you now. Unless Elise has a good segue, we make terrible, uncomfortable segues. Michael, can you segue from Nick's cocoon age-related fact into yours? Or are you going to have Elise grasp at straws?
I'll give it a shot.
Let's hear.
Speaking of things that are old, history.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. That wasn't awkward enough.
It's better than they usually are. Specifically, history of candy.
Ooh, I like candy.
I'm a big fan of candy myself. This is actually one of my favorites too. So what candy, current candy, was originally packaged as Mars Men?
Mars Men. Elise, you're the guest, so you are it's your turn to think out loud. Candy originally packaged as Mars Men.
Mars Men. Okay, because I know that there's a Mars bar, but the men aspect of it makes me feel like it's like in the Skittle M&M world. And because Skittles are colorful, I'm going to say actually... but then Reese's Pieces do have the ET connection. No, I'm gonna go Skittles.
Okay.
They have an otherworldly vibe to me.
Okay.
Okay.
So Skittles. Lindsay, you have a thought?
No, I was gonna guess M&Ms just because, right? They're part of the Mars.
They are
situation.
Part of the Mars company. Oh. Yeah. Skittles, I think, is owned by Wrigley. No, Wrigley. It is owned by Wrigley, but Wrigley is a division of Mars. So very good guess.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But I also just, when I'm thinking of those little M&Ms, I know that that's their big advertising thing, that they're the little guys with the feet and the hand.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, that made me think of men. I was trying to think of other candy that physically were in the shape of people, but I'm drawing a blank on that. So.
Yeah, I don't.
So that was exactly the type of thing that I went with. I landed on gummy bears.
Oh, gummy bears? Okay. Ooh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Or Sour Patch Kids.
There it is, Lindsay.
That's it. Okay.
Sour Patch Kids. When they were created in the 70s, they were trying to capitalize on kind of that space enthusiasm of the 70s. And then they were repackaged as Sour Patch Kids in 85 to kind of try to capture that Cabbage Patch Kids craze.
Yep. Or garbage pail kids, as the case may be.
whichever happens to be. But
yeah.
I found that
it's like a curious case of Benjamin Button type situation where they reversed age. They went from men to children over the course of a few years. So,
no, exactly.
Okay, Elise, it is your moment to make an awful segue from candy to whatever your fact may be. So grasp at those straws, make that segue and connection. I haven't got my soundboard yet, but someday.
Okay, so my fact actually also has to do with the history of consumption.
Ooh.
So
okay.
There we go.
She's gonna replace me.
Oh, yeah, you're gone. See ya.
Been a pleasure, everybody.
I'm not sure if now is the time to say that I have a book, but this fact is from my book, which is a puzzle book. It's called Hello, I'm an Effing Puzzle Genius, 100 Activities for Smart as F Adults. And this is from, this is actually from the Drunk President's Crossword.
I love the Drunk President's Crossword. I haven't looked at it yet, but I do want for it. Like, I'm holding up the book and I'm realizing that people aren't weird. We don't have the YouTube channel that Roast of Your Teenage Self does. But I do want to note that one of the back parts, there is a picture of what many refer to as a tramp stamp. And it says colorful illustrations on almost every page. See if you can find your favorite MILF. And if that back cover art does not get you excited to buy this book, I really don't know what will.
The art... The illustrator that we got for the book is amazing. There are actually like a bunch of really fun coloring pages in the book and stuff. But this fact comes from my Drunk President's Crossword. So guests at this president's inauguration got so drunk that they damaged the White House.
Ooh.
Okay. Well,
I know what Lindsay's answer is going to be.
This is one of those ones that I don't actually know off the top of my head, which is rare for a presidential history fact. Elise, I don't know if you knew this, but for my bachelorette party, they, on President's Day weekend, so I was sexy George Washington, we took a party bus around to all of the monuments, presidential stuff around DC. And we did our own version of drunk history for my bachelorette party. And so it is devastating to me that I don't immediately know this answer.
Well, in a way, you honored this inauguration by celebrating your bachelorette in the way that you did.
Yeah, well, and it was great because we didn't even have to say we were celebrating bachelorette. We just told all the tourists Happy President's Day, you know? Like, Happy President's Day. Like, who are these drunk, very drunk
This happens
adults?
Every year. Are you guys new?
Yeah. Okay, Michael, so what's your guess?
So I have a clarifying question.
Yeah,
is this specifically at the inauguration ceremony, or was this like at one of the balls or parties afterwards?
It was at the party afterward.
Okay.
It was held at the White House, and they damaged it.
Okay, because I was thinking it was like, okay, recent inaugurations happen at the Capitol, so I was just trying to dial in time frame. So that wasn't helpful to me at all, so I will do what I've always done and say Taft. Elise, you don't know this. Anytime there's a presidential question that I don't know, I guess Taft.
Okay. Well,
but Michael, how much alcohol would Taft have to consume to get drunk? That's really the question, because it would be a lot.
As I understood the question, it was his guests and not him.
Okay. All right. Fair.
It's Nick, either, for me, it's either Taft or Grant is what I'm going with.
Okay, right, that's Nick. Grant is a good guess. I was thinking, so I'm trying to think of the party presidents, right? The ones that were known for being a little bit, you know, maybe out of left field. And, you know, W immediately comes to mind, but I'm going to discard that because I feel like I would have remembered hearing something about that, right? It's too recent. Kennedy was another one that came to mind, right? Just the concept of having a drunken bash somewhere. Just Kennedy seems like he'd be a good fit. Taft, obviously, right? Without question.
Sure.
Because it's a president question, so he has to come to that. Grant is a great guess. Buchanan was a huge partier, right? Franklin Pierce, because of the West Wing episode where his descendants drink too much. I think I made mention of him being a big drunk. And then John Adams, I think, was a horrible drunk. So, but I'm going to say John Adams. No, John Adams moved into the White House after he was inaugurated. So it can't be him.
And it also can't be Washington. Great, great.
Yeah, yeah. I've eliminated prospect. 42 left. So I'm gonna have to go with Pierce. I'm gonna say it was Franklin Pierce.
Okay.
That's my
guess. The 14th.
Yep.
Man, this is a tough one. I'm just gonna, if you guys could just give me a minute here, I just don't mind me really quickly. For those of you at home, I have a copy of Elise's book, and it was very hard not to. I have it in my hand, and I'm joking that I'm gonna open the page to it, but I didn't mark it because I didn't know her fact ahead of time, and also cheating is bad, blah, 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 blah. I think that I'm gonna guess, I think it was an early president. It's easier to damage things in the olden days, I think. Lots more wood, I don't know, and delicacies. So I'm going to say Madison. I think he's kind of high that he finally got to be president after all those years. I'm going to say Madison.
All right, y'all. Well, none of you got it. It was Jackson.
Andrew Jackson. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
They eventually had to, things got so rowdy and people wouldn't leave, so they had to move the punch bowl outside of the White House, and that's how they finally got his guests to leave. It's that they moved the alcohol.
Fun fact, they worked at house parties for me in college. We just moved the cooler outside and then locked the door.
You just
see, Michael,
further.
Acting presidential at a young age.
This is what I'm saying.
Right.
Dang, 2024.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I started after you gave us the answer, I just real quick Googled the drunkest presidents in U.S. history, and we'll put the link in the link dump. Here are my two favorite little data pieces from this. James Buchanan basically centered his life around drinking. Every Sunday, even while in office, he'd go to a nearby distillery and pick up a 10-gallon jug of whiskey. That was his weekly pickup. And then
Pennsylvania represent.
Yeah, the other one, Franklin Pierce. When the Democratic Party decided not to renominate Pierce after his first term in office, he responded to reporters, "Well, nothing left to do but to get drunk."
Mm-hmm. Another fact that I learned when creating the drunk president's crossword that didn't make it in there is that Andrew Johnson, when he was getting inaugurated as vice president, so this is Lincoln's inauguration. Johnson was sick. He had a fever. And what do? When you have a fever, you pound shots of whiskey.
Yes.
Sure.
That's what I do.
So he was so intoxicated at his vice presidential inauguration that he had to be held up to take the oath of office.
Ooh.
So, and then he became president and was impeached. So...
The origin story. Cool. Well, Elise, that's a really good fact. And you stumped us, which is a rare thing to do, especially with a presidential question. That's really rare. No,
it's a good category to make us look dumb on.
And it's funny because I don't have you know, the Penn and Teller fool us, where the magicians try to fool Penn and Teller and they have that FU statue. I don't have one of those to give you, but if I did, it would say FU on it.
Spiritually, I accept your FU statue.
Okay, good. This is good. Remember this warm, fuzzy feeling, because my fact is numbers related and also something that I know is in your wheelhouse very particularly. So my segue is this. We were talking about drunk presidents and getting drunk. And I think one of the most potent ways to get drunk, if you are a house elf, is butterbeer.
Of course.
So if you're a house elf and you really want to get a load on, the butterbeer is for you. Elves don't have anything to do with my fact. It's just a Harry Potter fact. So I just.
I feel like we missed a solid potent potables option there.
You're right. So Nick, you are actually eligible to play because I went back through all of our years and years and years and years of Harry Potter trivia content, and this is something that actually hasn't come up.
Really?
So,
okay.
Fun.
It's few
fun
and far between.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to start with Elise, though, because she's the guest. She's special. So I am looking for the number of spells that are explicitly said out loud in the books, excluding nonverbal and implied magic. And I want to know, I'm going to start with Sorcerer's Stone. So how many total spells in the entirety of the Sorcerer's Stone have been said out loud?
Okay, so this is just for Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, okay, Sorcerer's Stone, we definitely get Alohomora. We definitely get your Lumos. We definitely get...
Reparo like for the glasses.
Yes, Reparo for the glasses, definitely. And then I imagine there are probably just like other ones that are tossed about, but... it might not be that crazy high.
Swish and flick. Wingardium Leviosa. That's
Wingardium Leviosa. Leviosa, not Leviosa. I get a feeling that it's probably not a crazy amount. So I'm going to maybe say 7.
are you looking for unique spells or spells cast?
I'm saying spells explicitly said out loud.
Here's a question. If someone casts Alohomora twice, is that two or is it like Alohomora is one that is used?
It would count as twice. So every time.
Oh, okay, then I'm gonna change. I was thinking of it a different way. So I'm gonna change mine.
And then I have a question as well.
Yeah. So this, for the record, my source, hang on, Michael. So just for the record, my source, someone named Skylar Johnson, a super fan, made a, went through the book and by page number, like you can click the spell and say, okay, this one happened at this page of this book in Sorcerer's Stone. And they're all broken out by occurrences, order of appearance. It is a very, very detailed chart. So for example, there are two Alohomoras cast out loud and they have the exact quote from the book listed in this chart in the Sorcerer's Stone.
Doesn't count towards spells that were attempted but not cast, right?
I believe so. Yeah, this is spells explicitly said out loud in the books and excludes nonverbal and implied magic. So it's every spell muttered, flicked, and yelled in the Harry Potter book universe, visualized at a current position, data created with Python. I don't know if that's helpful.
Okay. I'm changing my guess wildly because of what we've learned. Okay. Sorcerer's Stone has, I think, 12 or 13 chapters. If we're casting like, oh my God, I can't even believe I'm going to try to do math.
we're giving you the real, we don't know either podcast experience, which is trying to do math terribly in a pressurized setting where people are listening to you do it and sitting at home. Oh my gosh, she's an idiot.
Okay. Casting. Well, my guess is that in the first chapter, because that's about the Dursleys, there's probably only like one or two spells in there. But then if we're casting, and then you know what? Actually, there's no spells in the next one because that's when Harry's still at the Dursleys. So we aren't even casting any spells until Hagrid gets to the shack on the rock, and then he gives Dudley the pig's tail.
Which he does non-verbally, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just points the umbrella at him. So that's right. Not even a verbal spell that he does. Though he might, I think he doesn't do any verbal spells because I think he starts a fire with the umbrella and gives Dudley the pig's tail with the umbrella, but I don't think that he says any spells out loud. So I feel that we're really not getting into any spells until we get to Diagon Alley.
Right.
So then I'm going to guess, like, we've got probably about, like, 9 chapters with maybe, like, 5 spells a chapter. I'm going to guess 45 spells.
All right, Nick, your guess?
All right, so a couple of things. First off, I don't believe Harry Potter casts a spell in the first book. I'm pretty sure he casts 0 spells in the entirety of the first book.
Thinking about that, you might Hermione cast Reparo.
Yeah, she casts a bunch of them.
Are we counting the fake spell that Ron does to try to turn Scabbers yellow?
Well, so I would say no. Or the one Seamus does to turn the water into wine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That doesn't work. Yeah, Harry doesn't do any spells in the entirety of the first book. So it's low. It's a low number. That being said, I think what Michael was trying to figure out was, do the thousands of attempted Wingardium Leviosas during Flitwick's class count?
They do exactly. Not.
Right. And they don't, because that didn't happen in the book. No. That was only in the movies.
Hermione is the only one who successfully Wingardium Leviosas during that class.
Yeah, I'm going to go under Elise. I'm going to say 25.
25? And Michael?
Yeah, I was going to piggyback on a lot of Elise's logic there.
She's the expert.
And I still think it's lower than 25. I'm going to say like 18.
18. Okay.
The only one I could come up with that I don't think you guys covered is, I believe, in order to get into a locked door.
Alohomora.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Alohomora.
Twice. Mm-hmm.
And then there was, didn't they petrify Seamus at some point?
Yeah, Petrificus Totalis.
Petrificus Totalis.
And it wasn't Seamus, it was Neville.
It's Neville. But Petrificus Totalis does come in.
When we would write the Harry Potter trivia, I was the placebo test. I was the average. I've read through the books maybe twice. I've seen the movies once.
So Michael,
what do you think, Mike? That's really hard. Okay, 4. Got it.
Yeah, so this is one of those questions that's going to make you kind of scratch your head and go, really? And Elise, it's also a classic trivia player thing to change your mind on your gut, because your first answer of 7 is correct.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So there are only 7 spells in the books. While you are right that Hermione did say Reparo, that was only in the film and was not in the book. So that was just a film moment. And Nick, you are right that Harry doesn't actually use any magic at all in the Sorcerer's Stone. He pretty Leviosa, but you don't actually in the book hear him say it out loud successfully.
I mean, he flies on a broom, which is magic, but he doesn't use a spell to do that.
Yeah, and his first spell is in the Chamber of Secrets dueling scene. That's the first one that he actually says out loud.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Goodness.
Now, my question to you. So there were 7 said in the Sorcerer's Stone. The book with the most spells said out loud would be the Deathly Hallows, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the longest and obviously the most advanced magic.
Hogwarts,
and they're,
yeah.
You know, yeah. And they're adults. So how many spells were said out loud in the Deathly Hallows compared to the Sorcerer's Stone?
Ooh, because that one's got we're doing spells, tons of spells in that one.
Right.
You got battles happening.
And the book is significantly longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like basically like you can see it's like a, you know, in like a hockey spray chart. There's just a million different dots of all these different spells. You'll have some time. We'll make sure to put the chart in the link.
Please send this to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna spend a lot of time.
Rest of the day now.
Yeah.
This is why I saved this for last, because I knew we'd be going on. But how many total spells said out loud in the Deathly Hallows? Elise.
Well, I feel it was wrong, which is 45. But now I'm like, maybe that's really low for Deathly Hallows when we probably have like so many and they're doing so many different ones.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah. Nick, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's in the hundreds. I'm going to say that there are so many spells being thrown back and forth in the books during the Battle of Hogwarts at the end. Well, a lot of them are nonverbal though. So it's going to be, all right. So I'm going to say 105. I'm going to have my original
Michael?
Guess. Yeah.
I'm going to say 75.
75 and Elise?
Okay, I'm going to go with 86.
All right.
Based on nothing.
Well, you are very close. if if I was asking about the Order of the Phoenix, which is 87.
Okay.
Which is 87, but Deathly Hallows is 128 spoken out loud spells. So really quick, Sorcerer's Stone 7, Chamber of Secrets 13, Prisoner of Azkaban 54, Goblet of Fire 73, Goblet of Fire 73, Order of the Phoenix 87, Half-Blooded Prince 70, Deathly Hallows 128. I would also note that on the rewatch of the movies, I got old because I, as a kid, hated the Half-Blooded Prince. And then on the rewatch as an adult, I was like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. And you know what? I totally forgot. So Deathly Hallows, I bet you more than half of those spells are Hermione casting protection charms around the tent.
Right. They
slog through the first half of that book.
Forest. And they're like, you know what? Make this its own movie.
Right, yeah. Worst part of the entire series.
You know the part where they're
series.
In the forest for seven chapters and everyone loves it?
Right, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I feel good. You stumped me with the Harry, or I stumped you with the Harry Potter. You stumped me with the Drunk Presidents. I think mm-hmm. that we are even until the next time. And lastly, as we've been talking about your roast of your teenage self, I wanted to give you this little nugget of information about me in that my first overnight sleepaway camp was a Girl Scout camp that was Harry Potter themed. And I got to play Voldemort in the camp-wide play. So thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Beautiful.
Yeah. My That's friend was beautiful. Coral, and we were in one little cloak back and forth. Girl Scout camp playing Voldemort.
Which version of Voldemort? Are we back of Quirrell's head Voldemort?
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, we had one little you know, cloak between the two of us. And
you
flip
can
around.
Spin around. We love that.
Yeah, it was a good time. I need to get a picture of it, dig that out. But anyway, make sure you check out Elise on Roast of Your Teenage Self, available where all of the great fun podcasts are. So make mm-hmm. sure you listen in.
Right.
And also, hello, I'm an effing puzzle genius, available. You already have an answer. So
you got at least one answer to the crossword.
I would say your secret phrase for today has to be find your favorite MILF, doesn't it?
Yes, 100%. Find your favorite MILF is your secret phrase. Find your favorite MILF. Elise, what was that secret phrase?
Find your favorite MILF.
Yes, crushed it. Okay, well, Elise, thank you so much for joining us. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Elise.
And we don't know either.
Bye.